Welcome to A.T. Stewart and Sons Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. I'm glad you've chosen to join us today as we look into the Word of God. So take your Bibles and let's hang out in God's Word for a few moments and see what God would say to us today.
First one, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Verse 3. The sisters therefore sent word to the saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now the Scripture makes it clear that his love for them was never in question. It's important that we understand that, because in times of silence, one of the first things we do is we begin to doubt God's love for us. We begin to think, God, you must not love me or I would be hearing from you. The heavens would not be brass, God, if you loved me. What's wrong? Why have you stopped loving me? Why are you treating me this way? And so the Scripture wants us to know up front, it's not a matter of God's love not being there. In fact, it is because of God's love that He is being silent. Different twist, isn't it? But that's exactly the reality of it. When therefore he heard that he was sick, he stayed then 2 days longer in that place where he was. Now, imagine Martha and Mary send word expecting Jesus to come any day. They're looking. They know about how long it takes the messenger to get there. They know how long it would take Jesus to walk. Now, they naturally assume what? That as soon as Jesus gets the word, he's going to drop everything he's doing and he's going to come and look after them. He's been in their home. They've fed him. They're good friends with him. It's a good relationship. And so they just know he's going to respond. Imagine now those sisters waiting. They said, well, Jesus, we figured out he ought to be here about tonight at 6 o'clock. So around 6 comes, they start looking down the road. Jesus ought to be here any minute. Our brother's not getting any better. He's getting worse. But man, when Jesus gets here, he's going to heal us. And 6 o'clock comes, there's no Jesus. Well, maybe he got a little delayed. 6:30 comes, there's no Jesus. 7 o'clock comes, there's no Jesus. It's turning night. And they assume, well, he won't be traveling at night first thing tomorrow morning. I bet he'll be coming. He stopped for the night somewhere along the way. He'll be here first light. They go to bed with anticipation. Lazarus keeps getting worse. They wake up the next morning. A few hours have passed. They're just expecting Jesus any moment. No Jesus. They wait. No Jesus. Lunchtime, no Jesus. Afternoon, no Jesus. Now imagine what these ladies are beginning to feel. Have you ever felt that? Lord, what's going on? Feeling bewilderment. Feeling confusion. Feeling frustration. Lord, you love him. Where are you? He's getting worse. He died. Now imagine how they feel. Totally let down. They were counting on Jesus. And they feel like he's let them down. Have you ever been there? Oh, I was counting on you. You know, I was praying. And I just knew you would do it. And it didn't happen. You've let me down. So they feel let down. They feel frustrated. And then Jesus comes after Lazarus has died. So not only was there silence, but things got worse. Now the question is, why the silence? Why did Jesus wait? Why did he not respond? Because he wanted them to have a greater revelation of who he was. Because he wanted them to enter into a deeper level of intimacy and understanding of who he was, that he was silent. They knew him as the healer. They had seen him heal. They expected him to come and heal Lazarus. But Jesus wanted them to know him in a deeper revelation, in a greater revelation than as the healer. Now you hear that? And when God is silent in your life, is He silent one of two reasons? One, He's silent because there's sin in your life. So what's the first thing you do when you find silence? Well, you go through the checklist and say, Lord, is there sin somewhere in my life that's causing the heavens to be brass? Is there something in my life I'm not doing right? And you go through under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and you check out and make sure you're all right. Once you've checked that out, confessed anything you brought to mind, if there's still silence, then you know it's the second reason. He's silent because He wants to bring you into a deeper level of intimacy with Him. Because He's going to reveal Himself to you in a new way, in a greater way. They knew Him as healer, but Jesus wanted Mary and Martha to know Him as the resurrection and the life. Now, what's the greater revelation of Jesus? The healer or the resurrection? The resurrection. He wanted them to know Him as the resurrection and the life. And so He's silent. He waits. He doesn't go. And Lazarus dies. And then Jesus shows up. Martha runs out and says, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, because they know Him as a healer. They know He would have healed him. And what does Jesus say? Jesus says, your brother shall rise again. Verse 23. Martha said to Him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. She still doesn't know Him as but a healer. And then Jesus says to her in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me shall live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in Me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to Him, yes, Lord, I believe that You are the Christ, the Son of God. Now, He didn't ask her that. He said, do you believe I'm the resurrection and the life? And she comes back and says, yeah, I believe You're the Christ, the Son of God. See, she hadn't seen Him as the revelation yet, as the resurrection and the life. She'd seen Him as the Son of God, as the anointed one, the Messiah. But He wanted to take her deeper. He wanted to take her into a more intimate level of relationship with Him as the resurrection and the life. Now, during those times of silence, you can react in one of two ways. You can react in guilt, feeling guilty, self-condemnation, and depression. God, You have abandoned me. You've let me down. You've left me. Things have gotten worse. Where are You? And then you start condemning yourself. Well, I must be no good. I must be sorry. God must be punishing me. And you go on and on and on. Or you can respond in expectation and faith and trust that the reason for the silence is because God is about to reveal Himself to you in a greater way than you've ever seen Him before. And so you change from the depression to the expectation. God, I know You're silent for a reason, and I've checked the sin list, and I'm all right as far as I know between You and me. Now the problem is, and the answer is, that You're going to reveal Yourself to me in a way I've never seen You before. And You're setting the stage, You're getting me ready to see You as I've never seen You before. And to be able to walk with You more intimately because of what You're going to reveal to me about Yourself. See, that changes it, doesn't it? You begin to be expectant. God, I'm waiting. I'm waiting on You. You just keep doing the last thing He told You to do. You keep doing that, and then you wait. During the silence, you just keep being obedient to the last thing He showed you, and you just keep waiting, expecting in His time He's going to reveal Himself as you've never seen Him before. And that revelation is going to result in a deeper intimacy with Christ. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul went through this. 2 Corinthians 12. Remember, Paul had a thorn in his flesh. And we don't know what that thorn was. But it bothered Paul. Could have been a physical infirmity. But he talks about it being really a source of embarrassment to him in some churches. As something that was, he felt like, hindering his abilities in ministry. And so he asked God, verse 8, concerning this, I entreated the Lord, and that's a very strong word for urging, strongly, urgently, entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Now I'm going to make an assumption here that I think is accurate. The first two times, heaven was silent. There was no response. Paul would not have prayed the third time if he'd gotten an answer on the first two times. Now, we don't know the time link between the first two petitions and the third one. But I assume and believe, knowing the way God works, that God was silent, though Paul poured out his heart, God, deliver me from this infirmity. Deliver me from this weakness. It is hindering my ministry. And Paul probably built a beautiful case for why God ought to take it away from him. God, I know You're the healer. Now heal me. But heaven was silent. And then at some other time, Paul prays again, a second time, pouring out his heart for God to heal him. He knows God is able. He knows God can do it. But again, heaven is silent. Silent because God wants Paul to have a greater revelation of who He is than simply the healer. And then Paul prays a third time, and heaven opens. The silence is broken. And he said to me, verse 9, My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Jesus revealed Himself to Paul as the all-sufficient One. He revealed Himself to Paul as His strength. When you are in weakness, Paul, I'm your strength. When you are totally extended and there's nothing left, I am your strength. I am your sufficiency. No matter how bad it appears to be, no matter how difficult it is, I am your grace, your enabling power. In fact, Paul, the more difficult it is, the more grace I shall abound to you. So Paul came to know Jesus as his all-sufficient One, as his strength, as the supplier of grace. No matter how deep his need was, God's grace was greater. Now when Paul understood that, when he got this fresh, new, deep revelation of Jesus that drew him into a deeper level of intimacy with Jesus, you see, the more we know Him, the more we see Him, the closer we walk with Him. And He has to reveal Himself to us. It's just like you and I. We can start talking here, and we may not know each other very well. But if we spent 30 minutes a day talking, every day for the next month, we would probably come to know each other much better. And if we were willing to risk being vulnerable, we would come to know each other very well. Right? The more He reveals of Himself to us, the more intimate our walk with Him becomes. Paul saw Christ as he'd never seen Him before. Now, what was his response to that? Look at what he says in verse 12. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Paul said, because of this weakness, I came to know Christ as I've never known Him before. Because of the silence of heaven, He's revealed Himself to me as I've never seen Him before. And I'll tell you, I'd rather have this weakness any day and know Christ like I know Him now than to have the weakness removed. He said, therefore, I gladly boast. I rejoice in this weakness. Because in this weakness, I know Jesus as my power. Look what he goes on to say. Verse 10, therefore I am well content. Content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. Why? Because when I'm weak, then I'm strong in His power. You're going through silence today. God is bringing that silence so that He can reveal Himself to you in a greater way than you've ever experienced. And we're going to have a time of examination before we partake of the Lord's table. That's when we ask God to show us if there's any sin in our life we haven't confessed. Any sin that we need to bring before Him. Any sin against a brother or sister that we need to ask their forgiveness. Now, as we go to this time of examination, if you have been experiencing silence from God, and you have gone and taken the reaction of depression and despair and guilt and self-condemnation, then confess that to God. Say, God, I confess those emotions, those feelings were wrong. And by Your grace, I desire to expect and to trust and to wait on You to reveal Yourself in this silence as I have never experienced You before. To see Your heart as I've never seen it before. Just keep doing the last thing He showed you to do. And in His time, the silence will be broken and you will enjoy a relationship deeper with Him than you've ever experienced. Can we not all bear testimony that this has been true in our lives at some point? Let's pray. Father, as we come to this time of examination, we ask Your Spirit to test us, to try us, to search us, to know our ways, and to show us, Lord, if there's any sinful way within us, that we might confess and bring it before You. God, brings any sin to mind that You've committed against Him, that You've not confessed, that You've not brought to the blood of Christ. Just confess that to Him right now. If there's any bitterness or unforgiveness in your heart toward anyone, resentment, you've not confessed before God, if you're not trusting God to bring healing in your heart, to bring total forgiveness, then confess that to Him now. Father, we do not want to partake of the Lord's table in an unworthy manner, but we desire to examine ourselves and for Your Spirit to examine us. For we do not want to bring judgment upon ourselves. We trust Your Spirit is doing that as we wait before You. Father, You've said in Your Word, if we confess our sins, You're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank You for the forgiveness that is ours in Christ. Not because we deserve or earn that forgiveness, but because of Your grace and Your mercy. We desire for You to meet with us in a special way around Your table. As we reflect on Your broken body, as we reflect on Your shed blood, as we meditate on Your love for us. In Your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. This is the Lord's table, and so if you belong to the Lord, you've been born again into His kingdom by placing your faith in Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. realizing you cannot earn heaven. You cannot do anything to deserve eternal life, but He offers it to you as a free gift. And you have freely received His gift in faith. You've experienced a new birth, and we invite you to partake of this Lord's table with us as well. I'm going to ask our deacon brothers if they will come down and take their seats on the front pews. First element of the Lord's table is the bread, symbolic of the body of our Lord, broken for us. We're going to partake of this, and then we're going to spend some time just worshiping our Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for the gift of the Lord Jesus, for His body that was broken and pierced for us. And we thank You by His stripes we're healed and we have forgiveness. That He paid the price that we should have paid. We thank You in His name. Amen.